morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Normally, this is the part where I say thank you for hosting, but Scott, I am just, you know, I'm just a little bit giddy here. It's a big day for us on the show.
We are solo in the...
They turned us loose in the studio.
I can't believe they turned us loose in the studio.
There is no other host. We are the host of the show.
Look at all these buttons that we have to learn about. This is pretty cool.
It is really cool. So it only took us about 2 years, but I guess they finally decided we could do it.
Welcome, Lance and the Kenmore team, to the solo Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
So now we do officially have our co-host, that is Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. And Scott, you are the co-host. There is no other host.
There is no other host. We are here, the two of us in the studio, having an absolute blast, and I sure hope that we don't push the wrong button.
I really hope this is working at the right time and we don't push the wrong button.
Hey, so, but we're here to add value to you folks, so listen up. We have got a lot to cover.
So, number one, we always like to start with our real estate news story. We've had some crazy Hollywood stories. We try to take this a little bit national.
Yep.
Last week, we talked about the average real estate agents on the NAR survey, but this week we're taking it back to a little bit of property. I just thought this was just a kind of a crazy story. Mm-hmm. So about 20 miles outside of a small town, Taos, New Mexico, they're out on the flat landscape. You'll see what looks like just a little blip, and if you blinked, you might missed it, but there is a dome home. That's right, dome home.
Dome home.
For sale for $74,000 out there, sitting on 20 acres. Now, this place is completely, as they said, off the grid, powered by solar energy, double-paned windows. You've got your wood stove in there. It was actually built as a dome kit. So I kind of read the article about dome homes and kind of what they've got going. Really interesting to check out the website. If you type dome homes into Google, you'll find stucco dome home. And it's kind of meant to be like that vacation getaway where you just go out there. You've got your 20 acres. It's a vacation home away from everything.
Talk about getting away and disappearing.
It's near the Rio Grande River, spectacular views of the mountains. I mean, just a really cool little place for $74,000.
Off the grid. $74,000.
And so just great, great pictures of that. Just phenomenal. If you look at dome homes, and it's just really, really interesting.
You know, I wonder how you'd appraise that. We should have an appraiser in to tell us what comps they would take a look at for something like that. I'm thinking cash sale.
Yeah, I'm thinking that might be a cash sale. I don't think you're going to find permanent financing on that real easy, as I like how you start to immediately think of the financing issues. Yeah.
How in the world would we finance the dome home?
Are we going to get the dome home financed? But it's just really cool to kind of look around at different property ideas, vacation home ideas. And so there's a lot of that going on right now. We talked about the mini homes. Mm-hmm. You know, homes that are built off-site and transported in and mm-hmm. set up for vacation homes. So,
and we talked a lot about investment properties on the last show.
Exactly.
Because with these rates, if you're an investor and you want to pick up some properties in some different locations for some really, really good values, now's the time to do it.
Now's the time to do it. So now we've talked about, I've been getting this question for weeks now, and so we really wanted to address this. We try to do this once or twice a year, and hopefully as our first time hosting, we don't completely bore people to death with this. But this is a stats show. This is which neighborhoods, which areas of town are selling, what has sold, and where are we at? Because people are very concerned about the market, right, asking a lot of questions about the market.
Right.
You know, we saw headlines this week in the Tri-City Herald about layoffs, so that naturally makes people uneasy about where the market is, what's happening, and what we're looking at.
Right.
So I pulled those stats and said, let's just see exactly through the end of May, so 5 months, just where are we at year to year to year versus the last couple of years, and see where we're at.
You know, before we jump into that, since John's not here to keep us in check, I think that what we need to do is put some full disclosure out there with Cobalt Mortgage being a residential financing expert, and then Scott Ridgway has an MLO number of 50685, and what we are not are attorneys, financial planners, CPAs. What else are we not? just about everything else.
The list is too long.
And Lance, you're the expert in residential real estate.
Residential real estate, we saw last week when it goes to commercial side, I had somebody like James Wade come in, and so we sell homes.
So for full disclosure, we probably, since we're on our own, and yeah, so we don't trip up on something that John keeps us in check on.
We might get in trouble anyway, so I do appreciate that.
We're well on our way.
So here's what we got happening. Through the end of May, closed sales, and we're pulling a lot of this data right from the Tri-City Association of Realtors. Through the end of May, June 1st, 1,067 closed sales. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this. We look back to last year, and last year, from January 1st through the end of May, we had $8,000 tax incentives, a lot of boosters to the market.
Right.
So last year, that exact same time period, we saw 1,370 sales. So a 23% decrease year to year this year. But then when we go back to 2009, which was a more typical beginning year without those tax credits,
right,
1,046 sales. Actually, only a difference there of about 21 sales.
So we're in a typical stabilized market.
Very typical for where we were 2009. And then just to compare, I went back to 2008, and we were just a little bit hotter in the beginning of 2008 with 1,184 sales.
Mm-hmm.
So take the tax credit out of the equation from last year, and we're just running slightly slower, but not, I mean, when you look at those percentages, basically just over 1%, not a significant percentage-wise difference.
Well, and there were a lot of people that were running to take advantage of interest rates as low as they were, thinking, well, these are going to go up in the future, we better transact now, and that hasn't occurred. Rates have not gone up. They've actually stayed very, very low and very, very stable, and we're seeing a lot of activity.
Exactly, and part of that, and based upon that activity level, there are some interesting stats that go along with that for this year. Of all the solds, of all of the 1,067 solds so far this year, for the sold properties, the average days on the market of all those solds is 67 days. Properties that are priced correctly, that are still moving, and they're moving in an amazing time period of that 67 days.
So they're not sitting for 4 and 5 months. They're ready to go.
Exactly not. An average sold price of those homes, $195,000 for the first 5 months of this year. So we're still looking at a very high average sales price.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen other markets that were way above us now being way below us.
And it's because we didn't really go up a lot, so we didn't come down a lot.
Yeah, so we've kind of been in that stable market. Interesting enough, too, just kind of a fun number, all of those sales added up so far this year, already transacted in Tri-Cities this year, $223 million worth of property.
Wow.
So there's money moving out there. There's definitely some money moving from house to houses out there. And that kind of gives us an idea of where the market is and what's happening.
Well, I'll tell you, when you see the news for the Northwest and they're talking about, you know, the nicer places that are showing up on the maps, Tri-Cities has got the sun coming out, they've got the heat going up, and people want to be out here playing and recreating and raising families.
I met with a couple, you know, it was just this week, and I said, well, where are you guys moving to? You're selling this house, where are you moving to? And she goes, we are not going anywhere.
Right.
Other than we're retired and we're downsizing. I don't want two stories, I want to move to one level. But she's like, trust me, we've been all over the world, and he had worked in the area, so he had been to LA and to Tennessee and, you know, transferred all around through their career. And she said, we are done, and we are done in Tri-Cities.
Love the Four Seasons.
Love seeing that. So that's great. Now, I'm going to even break it down a little bit more to what city is winning. We're going to get more and more specific here as this is.
What city in Tri-Cities or what city national?
No, what city in Tri-Cities.
Okay.
These market numbers we're talking about specific to the Tri-Cities market. So what we got here is we've got Richland with 242 sales of that 1,067 comes in at 22% of the market so far this year is happening in Richland. Not bad, but not nearly. Kennewick is killing it.
Kennewick, a lot of development in Kennewick.
Kennewick has had 370 of those sales. 370 of them have been in Kennewick, representing 34% of the market already this year.
Wow.
Now, not to be left out of the mix, We've got Pasco. We've got all of that development going on out there. Pasco, 333 of those sales, 31% of the market.
More than Richland.
More than Richland. Yeah.
Don't you love the local community competition?
Pasco has a lot of that land available. I actually thought before I was running these stats, you know, it's interesting before you really delve into these numbers. I knew Pasco and Kennewick were running really close to each other.
Sure.
And so it was interesting to see Kennewick actually having more sales. I mean, they got a lot of land mass and kinds of different areas developing at the same time.
Right.
So it was interesting to see them a couple percentage points ahead. Now I didn't leave out. I know you were about
here it
to
comes.
Ask me.
I love this.
No, all of you out there listening, I did not leave West Richland out. Okay, I am including them in this. So West Richland did come in with a.
Would that be the fourth city in the
stop
area?
Stop it. We're not going to have that discussion. Okay, I want to continue to do business in West Richland.
I love it.
Just be quiet.
Hey, we finance properties all over the state of Washington.
85 sales in West Richland, representing 8% of the market so far in 2011. So that's kind of how the breakdown there goes city-wise.
Do I dare ask why that is?
No.
Okay.
Please, no. But what we are going to do after the break is we are going to even go more specific.
Love it.
I'm going to let you talk about lending a little bit.
Yeah.
But then we're going to go more specific and even break it down to some geographical areas, West Pasco versus South Richland, see what those sales have been. And then I'm going to break it down price range-wise so you can see where the bulk of the market is. That is, if we don't run out of time.
I love that.
We are coming up on a hard break here, and once again, I don't want to mess this up our first time. So since we're coming up on that break, we're going to go to break, Scott.
Let me ask this question. Should I use an internet-based mortgage company? We'll be answering that question for you right after the break.
Right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore. We've been talking about some local market stats. We're here with our co-host, Scott Ridgway. We hope we're here. They have let us host the show ourselves this week, Scott, for the first time. We think we're on the air right now.
We are official certified button pushers.
We don't know. I mean, we're hoping that we're on the air.
I hope this is live.
So anyway.
Hey, we should take a call in. That'd really be going over the edge, I think, today.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're having a great time here today. We've talked about stats. We've looked at where the market's at. We've been getting that question a lot lately with a lot of the press out there and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to talk with Scott about lending and a little bit about Cobalt Mortgage. And before the break, you kind of hinted at a question.
Yep.
And we get this all the time. And it's, should I use an internet-based mortgage company? Because there's a lot of ads out there. You see a lot of these teaser rates and ads when you're surfing around on these websites.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
Well, you know, we've got a phenomenal network. And just as you are advised not to use a switchboard call center to obtain your homeowner's insurance, it's even more critical that your mortgage advisor not be selected in that same fashion. A mortgage advisor in a distant location will never have the local contacts and expertise needed, nor the accountability of someone who has a local rock-solid reputation to protect, like Scott Ridgway and Cobalt Mortgage.
Well, that's a great point, because I know there's a big difference when I call you because maybe a buyer needs to get some information to you or hand deliver something.
And we need to act right now.
I know I'm going to get you. I know where your office is. If by chance I don't even get you, I will be driving by your office and I'll be pounding on the door. When I'm calling a 1-800 number, I can't do that.
Right.
You know, and it's just one step that makes me more removed from the transaction that I can't help the client.
Right. And it's that eyeball to eyeball meeting that in a lot of cases you're able to build that trust. You're able to let them know, hey, we are here to help you. We are here to service you. And our job is to give you the service that you expect and deserve.
No, that's huge. And I can't stress that enough. We go over this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, people like to know that they're getting the best rate. That's always very important to people based upon their current situation.
Right.
I think a lot of times what happens is they don't get the whole current situation to the people that are giving the intro or the teaser rates. It's kind of like the lost leader is how I look at it.
Exactly.
You know, is what I call it. So,
and that initial consult really is the most important thing. Are you going to have your job through the process? Are you going to be retiring? Have you purchased a new car? Are you going to be buying any furniture? Where's your down payment coming from? What's your cash to close look like? And most importantly, if we ask those questions up front, we can help you structure the offer to make it go the smoothest and work so you have a successful close the first time.
But that's huge. I love that. And then smoothest and successful close just takes me to the next question. Right now, how long should the mortgage process take? How quick of a close should we be looking at with you at Cobalt?
Great question. Technically, you can't close any quicker than about 7 days with the new guidelines and the stuff that the federal regulatory bodies have put into the process. But the typical length of most mortgage transactions and the typical length that anybody would like to see is a closing in about 30 days. If a quicker closing is needed, you want to make sure that you talk with your mortgage advisor and your realtor, but based on turn times with the appraiser, with the underwriters, your mortgage advisor is going to determine right up front if this is possible. So if we've got a client that we've gone over their borrower's profile, which is income, assets, debts, and credit, and you've got a property that's ready to go right now, the process is get your borrower approved by having their credit run, analyzing those items, get the contract in, get the appraisal ordered immediately. We typically have that in about 2 days, which is far quicker because of the relationships that we have in our HVCC process. Get our title ordered, make sure that the homeowner has their homeowner's insurance dialed in, and then we order a flood certificate to make sure that that home is not in a 100-year floodplain. Once those pieces are in, that file needs to be signed off, and if it's done properly the first time, we're ready to draw documents and get your loan closed.
Well, that's huge, because I see a lot of times in these processes and in the box stores of, you know, the big box stores of lending, I see that happen where, because of the appraisal issue especially, has been so difficult getting those quick turnaround times right now. A lot of times the appraiser is not maybe even allowed to communicate with the real estate agent, and then they might, I've seen chinks in the, you know, in the armor.
Yeah, we're not supposed to talk to them.
Of the process where you can't speak to them, but they've been ordered to do the appraisal, and then they put in a request for something as simple as this. Shoot, just yesterday I had somebody call me. They said, Lance, we have to have the purchase and sale agreement to finish the appraisal, but we can't get that from the lender that ordered the appraisal.
And how crazy is that? Why would you order an appraisal without having a purchase and sale contract?
Yeah, and so we really see that happening, and I mean, firsthand knowledge, you couldn't have said it any better, and that's one reason we love doing business with Cobalt and love, you know, sending our buyers over there to talk with you and our sellers that are also going to be buying, because we can do quick closings. I mean, there have been emergency situations where you've had to do some amazingly quick closings for us.
Well, and it comes down to experience. You know, I've been writing loans and helping people get into homes for 18 years here in Tri-Cities, and it's the unforeseens that are the things that can derail a transaction. What happens if there's something that's found on the appraisal? And that's where, Lance, your expertise comes in. Who do we call? Who can we get out there as quickly as possible? What relationships do we have so that we can address those unforeseen really quickly and get that quick, smooth closing accomplished so that everybody's still wowed in the process, even if there was a curveball thrown?
Well, that's it. Oh, shoot, I had one, just a real-life scenario in that process. I had one this week with another agent, working with a great agent on the other side of the transaction from another company. In fact, I was working with Curtis Stahl, and he just did a fabulous job. Other agent on the other side of us this week, we came into an appraisal problem where we actually had to have a building removed from the property.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and it took all of us working together to, you know, Curtis, I know this guy. We can get a bid from this guy.
Sure.
I mean, we actually had to get dump trucks up there. We're going to have to be removing that that dilapidated, basically, is the best way to describe it, building from the property so that it can qualify, working with a great local lender that says, yes, get it removed, then we can qualify and move the loan through. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of moving parts in a short period of time there. That you're exactly right. It took that local communication to make it happen.
So can you imagine if you're working with an internet-based mortgage company and an out-of-town realtor to try to put that transaction together?
It would have never worked. It would have never worked.
So, folks, that's why we do this show, and it's to educate you and to help you understand that you're working with experts and that you want to work with experts and people that have been down that road before so that they can take their expertise and help you to make the best buy possible.
Well, Scott, we really appreciate that information. We've got some more market stats. We've been narrowing it down. We started with overall sales. Mm-hmm. We went to cities. We looked at average days on the market, getting a real good picture of exactly what the market is today, because that is one of my number one asked questions. The second most asked questions is probably, where is the market going? And that is not a question that I'm qualified to answer because my psychic abilities are...
The crystal ball's broken these days, yeah.
It's broken. So we'll deal with the first most asked question, and so we'll go ahead and we'll hit that up with the first most asked question of what is the market, and that's what we've really been looking at right now. So we're excited about that. We're looking at those numbers. So let's look where some of that $223 million in property was transacted. Now, big winner as by region. Now we talked. Kennewick had won the overall city competition we had.
All right,
folks, it's not a competition. We're making it a competition. Our own competition.
It's our natural tendency.
But when we come down to regions and we break it out, West Pasco takes the cake on this one. Of those 1,067 sales, 283 of those sales were in West Pasco. 26% of the total sales in that region.
Now, can I ask, do you know if it's new construction or if it's resale homes?
It's a mixture.
There's a lot of development going on out there.
There is a lot of new construction development. More of it is new construction development, but there is also a ton of fabulous resales. I'm going to have some of those in the pick three.
Nice.
Because there's such great deals out there right now. So, mind you, Pasco, as a city as a whole, had 31% mm-hmm. of the market, but just in West Pasco alone represented 26% of the total market.
Wow.
I mean, you know, only an additional 5% of the sales were in other parts of Pasco other than West Pasco. So big winner there.
Yeah.
Really coming in, once again, just nipping at the heels there, West Kennewick, so that would encompass like your Hanson Park, your Creekstone.
That whole 10th corridor.
Big developments down there in West Pasco. Huge, huge market also with 157 sales representing 14% of the total sales of the market in the first 5 months of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Central Kennewick, a little bit slower. So that would be from like Canal to 10th and in that corridor down there through Central Kennewick. Mm-hmm. 50 sales, so less than 5% of the market. So interesting how quickly a couple... borders of some major streets can drastically change the number of sales that we're looking at.
So this lets you know where the hot spots are and where most of the homes are moving.
And then we go to Richland. Let's not leave them out of the mix.
No.
So we go to South Richland Corridor, 113 sales. So a decent portion, 10% of the market has been in that South Richland Corridor. And then Central and North Richland, making up 126 sales, so representing about 12% of the market so far this year. So really, when we narrow it down and look at those cities, it's easy to see kind of where some of your big players are and where some of your market share is. The next most interesting thing, I'm going to jam this in here.
Because I'm getting statistically overwhelmed right now, and I'm going to ask the question, overall, what your thoughts are when you're done with these next sets.
Overall, when I'm done with this next sentence, is the majority of our market is still selling under $250,000. $250,000 and below represents 78% of our market.
And you've talked about between $150,000 and $225,000 is the smoking hot section or segment of the market today.
And the numbers back it up.
Absolutely.
That's where we're getting the sales. That's where we're getting the properties moving. And that's why, you know, our average sales price is falling in there. And mm-hmm. that's why we're falling right in line with.
So here's my question. Okay, go ahead and speak.
No, go with your question.
My question is this. Should I buy? Is now a good time to buy? Or should I be considering renting? Because those are questions that I'm starting to hear out there, because nationally, some of these networks are talking about renting versus buying, and that's a question that I hear. Should I buy? Is now a good time to buy? And when interest rates are as low as they are, I tell them, absolutely.
Right.
But that's a question I get. So what's your take on rent versus buy, and what the vacancy rates are, and with the availability of properties, because you've got some incredible pick threes coming up.
So here's the thing with that. If you are planning on staying in the Tri-Cities for more than 3 years, I would be looking at buying. 3 to 3.5 years is really a break-even point. If you are going to move before that time period, and there's a high likelihood that that's going to happen, I would probably not make the investment in buying, if that's your time period. Mm-hmm. It's very specific to the individual.
So it depends.
It's going to take about 3.5 years to recoup some of your costs, mm-hmm. Some of your inputs into the property, and some of your costs of selling.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that you're going to be able to break even back out of that property in a lower time period, I really don't think is realistic. But if we're going to be over that time period, we're looking at a great average sales price that mm-hmm. has continued to go up and buck the market trends. And we have interest rates very, very low, almost the lowest they've been.
Yeah.
Makes the property super affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are planning on buying, we are looking at potentially massive increases in the amount of down payments required in the next 9 to 12 months. If those federal regulations go through and the down payments increase and the interest rates go up, the home ownership value might be out of reach.
Right.
And now, I think in a great market, one of the best in the country, and we have the lowest interest rates possible, a lot of times you will be money ahead to go ahead and purchase.
That is fantastic information. Folks, take that to heart. We are going to run out of time. So to put my newly owned DJ hat back on, we better make sure that we get those pick threes in. And one last thing I want to say about Cobalt Mortgage is we just dropped our minimum credit score from 640 on an FHA loan to 620. That opens up a whole huge segment of the market. Call me, Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004. Let's go to the pick three quickly.
Okay, quickly. So maybe John was keeping us on track better than we are today. But really quickly, fabulous properties that we've just listed. 408 West 48th Avenue in Kennewick. Fabulous, fabulous, well-taken care of home in Kennewick. This is built in 93, 1665 square feet. They've updated the kitchen. They've updated the countertops. They have a slate fire pit and pond in the backyard. Beautiful, beautiful one-level Rambler home priced at $179,000.
Wow.
It is a beautiful home. And built in 93, so you get the mature landscaping with it, and they've done the updates inside. This is one you're going to walk in and fall in love with. It is fabulous. $179,000, 408 West 48th.
Great property.
West Pasco. We talked about how hot West Pasco was.
Mm-hmm.
$165,000 for this three-bedroom, two-bath, 1726 square foot home with a two-car garage. 7612 Thetis. I've already just had tons of calls about it this week for showings. It's a hot property this weekend. 7612 Thetis, $165,000. Vaulted ceilings, formal living room, huge family room, fireplace. This place is gorgeous, freshly painted, just repainted.
Ready to go?
In ready.
And you've talked about those things, though. Those are the things you want to do if you're going to sell your house.
The owners did the things that they were supposed to do. Pick number three, a little bit bigger home, 2376 square feet, 5510 Oleander in West Richland, priced at $230,000. And folks, this is a five-bedroom, three-bath home. Great family home, West Richland, phenomenal location, really close to schools. I mean, this is just a fabulous, fabulous home and just a great buy at $230,000. And that's 5510 Oleander. That's going to wrap up the show. We're over time. John's going to be asking what the heck happened.
So, Lance, if they want to get a hold of you to go look at these houses, where do they get a hold of you?
727-8977. That's my cell phone, 727-8977. Or you can go to kenmoreteam.com and contact us there. Scott, your contact info?
737-6004. Give Cobalt Mortgage a call and let us help you into your new home.
Folks, thanks for sticking with us for Scott and I's first time behind the mics and on the controls by ourselves. We appreciate it. We hope this is airing, and we hope they let us back next week.
We hope it recorded. We got to have that out there on your website in a podcast, too.
Exactly. So we will see you guys next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.